go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy to us. We ask Your blessing, Father, upon Your Word. We just ask for wisdom this morning. We thank You again for all that You do for us. Fill us with Your Spirit. And again, we ask that You'd help us to be faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's turn open our Bibles this morning to Micah, chapter 6. Begin in verse 6. I want to just kind of preface what I want to speak about this morning is, and just talk about the simplicity of what it means just to follow the Lord. It is truly simple. The Lord, when He was here, didn't speak to people that were the higher intellect. He didn't speak to people on a range above them. He spoke to people very clearly and very simply. And I think that's one of the things that threw many people off, just as it does today. The Lord created man to serve Him. And it is just that simple. And we try to make it religious. We try to make it... We just try to make it too difficult. Let's begin reading here. It says, "How shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? Shall I reach Him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or a myriad of streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my ungodliness, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. Or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God?" Right there it is. What does it take to get to the Lord? What do I have to do to find God? What does it is required of me to be what God wants me to be? And He lays it out very plainly here. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord. To do justly. What does it mean to do justly? We have several things that we, whenever we think of justice and righteousness, we go through this list of things that, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And we become so rigid or legalistic, and we try to put everything in, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Justness cannot be put in a box. To be just is just to do what's right with the person that you're dealing with right now. Sometimes it might not look like it fits in all the boxes of religion. But we try to make it fit in that. And when we try to force something into that, what do we do? We look religious. We act religious and we follow precepts, but we don't do justly. We can't put this in a box. Just to do what's right in the next situation that comes your way. It's not a big grand religious thing that you're doing. It's just doing the very simple thing that's right in front of you and loving your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot of extremes. People get really extreme one way. They just get so rigid that they count out every little detail of everything that happens with everyone else, trying so hard to do justly. And they wind up looking and examining and seeing everything right down to the very detail. Like a hoarding banker counting his pennies, making sure that every one comes out just right, and then try to apply that to people. And it comes up, not justice, but just a real strict legalism. And they try to fit that into other people's lives. They try to fit that into the way that they deal with people. And it's not pretty at all. Especially if you're on the other end of it, with someone exacting down to the last ounce of what they expect from you. That's not justice. That's just pure old legalism. And we know how ugly that can be. Some people come through that. Seems like whenever people start out and they get awakened, or their attention is awakened on the seriousness of following God, they see the world all around them and they seem not to care at all. And so they start studying the Bible and they find these things. And usually people find their own thing. That's why there's so many different things. And so they find this, and then they just got to force it down everybody's throat and just show it everybody that you're missing it, you're missing it, you're missing it, because you're not doing this or you're not doing that. And they see after a while that sometimes they either get stricter and stricter and wind up going off by themselves. They just find out that they can't get along with anybody because nobody maintains the strictness that they have. They just go from group to group to group looking for someone that's just as strict as they are, not able to tolerate anybody in any. And soon they wind up in the middle of nowhere, off by themselves. That's the one extreme. The other extreme comes to a place after a while that they say, well, wait a minute. Just in my foolish ambition, I was just too strict. And so they broaden up their mind and just accept everything. And so they don't care about anything right and wrong. It's just, we just accept everybody just where they're at. It don't matter what you're doing. It's just, we're just showing this kind of love that everything's just wonderful. And there's nothing principled about that. There's nothing merciful about that. There's nothing loving about that. It's just another wild extreme. Whenever, if we would just apply real, down-to-earth, common sense justice. Common sense doing justly to the people that are right in front of me. We try to do everything except what's right in front of us. We've got plans in the future, or we're regretting the past. We're trying to do something all the way, everywhere around us, preparing or regretting, instead of just doing right now what you're supposed to be doing. You know, whenever I see godliness, I just see a simple man. I just see a simple woman just doing what's right in front of them, loving their neighbor. We're so busy sometimes, we don't have time for justice. We've got so many things going, we don't have time for justice. We just run right past it. Religiously, devout, but we miss it. Just simple, doing justly. Somebody does you wrong, what do? You do justly. Somebody does you right, what do? You do justly. You devote your life to living right now and doing what's right in front of you. It's so simple. But for some reason, we make it so complicated. We make it so difficult. Religion is so hard and so deep and so broad that we just pursue it and we never get a hold of it when it's right in front of our face. It's right there. Just be a godly man. You don't have to be cramming it down everybody's throat, making sure everybody's doing it just because they don't see it yet. You're not going to open their eyes anyway. It's the simple things of just carrying this out that opens people's eyes. And you're not going to open them by just accepting everything. There's things that we do, and the reason we do them is because it's about loving our neighbor. It's about respecting ourselves and each other and respecting God to do justly. Next thing it says is to love mercy. To love mercy. Can you get a hold of that? And I'm not talking again about just accepting everything. That's not merciful. But to love mercy. Not getting it. We all like that part. Not getting it. But being merciful. That doesn't mean you don't see anything. That doesn't mean just everything's rosy. That's not it. Justice sees right and wrong. And it'll call it out. But if there's a glimmer of hope, it's all gone. It's forgiven. Everything's just boom. Like, I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to be merciful to them. I can be as strict and see right and wrong and be strong sometimes about my opinions, about what I say about something. We got a call this week that a man was bothered, that we were worried about something. And I hadn't even thought about it again. Because it was over. It was done. There was a change. There was no need for anything different. Just mercy. And it wasn't something you just stamp out there and make sure, oh, I'm merciful. It was just gone. Forgiveness. Mercy. Being ready to give someone another chance, another opportunity, without even thinking about, oh, they're probably going to do it again, but I'm going to give them a chance. Just be merciful. Justice is merciful. It's not blind. It can see right and wrong. It can see mistakes. It can see all of that. But it offers mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they are the children of God. See, whenever we look at God, we hear about the Holy Spirit. And we've made Him into be some magical thing that comes upon. We seek and, oh, He's going to do this for me and He's going to do that for me. And He's just this big magical thing. The Holy Spirit of God is so that you can have the attributes of God. That you want a God that loves you? You want a God that's good to you? Why don't you try being that way? You want mercy? You want a God that's merciful and forgiving? You know how you be saved? You know how you're saved? You know how you please God? Is when you become like Him. If you love His forgiveness, you be as forgiving as you think He ought to be. And if you think you can out-forgive Him, you're crazy. If you think you can be more merciful than Him, you've lost it. If you think that you can love more than He does, forget it. You can't. He is good. He is merciful. He is forgiving. He is kind. And that's what He wants you to be. What does He require of you? Treat other people like I would treat them. That's why Jesus came in the flesh. He didn't come to bring a bunch of rules and make sure that you enforce all these things. He came to show you how you walk through life, and when something's wrong, you call it out. And when someone wants to change, you forget all about it and you just take up from right where you're at, being merciful. Seeing around you, not just in such a race we don't see what's around us, but to do justly is to walk through life at a pace that you can see where things need fixed. You can see where people need help. One of the biggest things, and I don't understand this, but one of the biggest criticisms that I've received from people is that it's not my responsibility. That I'm taking too much on myself to be responsible for someone else. And I'm not talking about breathing down your neck because you didn't meet up to my standard. I'm talking about actually having a duty to other human beings. Actually having a responsibility to other people. Not a religious one, but an actual one. An actual responsibility, an actual duty to look out for other people, to care for them, to actually see them as a soul, and to treat them that way. That doesn't mean you're just all smiles and all bubbly all the time. If they're wrong, they're wrong, and call it out. They may hate you for it. You don't hinder. Whenever wrong is wrong, it's wrong. But that doesn't mean I'm done with you and can't have anything to do with you anymore. Here's an opportunity. It's not a religious thing, this duty, this responsibility that we have for each other. It's a godly thing. It's a godly thing. It's a just thing to do justly. Ready to do justly, to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. To be ready to walk with the Lord your God. A willing heart. I'm going to turn now to the wisdom of Sirach. A lot of the Bibles don't have this. It's an apocryphal book. But it's a book that was in the Bible until the last couple of hundred years. Now it's supposed to be a book of heresy. The Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 3. I'm sorry, let's go to 5 first. I want to go here, but I want to... Chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Do not set your heart on your possessions, and do not say, 'I am independent.' Do not follow yourself and your strength, so as to walk in the desires of your heart. And do not say, 'Who will be Lord over me?' For the Lord shall surely punish you. Do not say, 'I sinned, so what happened to me?' For the Lord is patient." Here's where people don't understand what love is with God. You see, you hear people that talk about God's love, and they talk about love just like this: "The Lord loves me. I sinned, and lightning didn't strike because God loves me." But all that proves is God is patient. Let's read this on. "Do not be so confident," verse 5, "of atonement that you add sin to sin. And do not say, 'His compassion is great.' He will atone for the multitude of my sins, for both mercy and wrath come from Him, and His anger rests on sinners. Do not delay to turn to the Lord." That's an admonition. "For His mercy and wrath come from Him, and His anger rest on sinners. Do not be so confident of atonement that you will add sin to sin." That is a direct contradiction to what most people teach today. They teach, you're saved because God loves you. You're saved because God's merciful. And Jesus died for you, and now you can do whatever you want to do. That's what this is saying. Don't put your confidence in that kind of an atonement. God still sees you. God still sees you. And whenever He talks about His love to you, it's so that you will get a hold of it yourself. Not so that you can live however you want to. "Do not be so confident in atonement that you add sin to sin, and do not say, 'His compassion is great.'" See our tendency? We think, oh, God loves us. And so we breathe a sigh of relief that, He'll just overlook it. Jesus died for me. He'll just take care of it. I can just do whatever I want. I can get religious, I don't have to, whatever I want to do. But that's not what He's trying to say. He's trying to show you that when He shows you love, instead of just soaking it all in yourself, see His love, and I want that. And I want to be that way. I want to be like that. You see, His compassion and His mercy, instead of just soaking it all in and taking it all in and then going your own way and doing your own thing, say, wait a minute, I want that too. I want to reflect that back. What I've been given, I want to give to someone else. And so you look for opportunities, wait for opportunities for that to happen, so that you can actually be what He wants you to be. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. It's to guide you into being holy, into being like God. That's what He wants for you. That's what the Spirit of God is here for. Not for some magic show, not for some experience to make you feel all wonderful, not to make you a big funnel just so you can soak in everything God has and gobble it all up yourself, but so that you can become like Him, that you can be like Him, that you can walk justly, that you can be merciful, that you can find the forgiveness and give it all back just as you received it. That's what He's trying to get us to get a hold of. There are. We don't forget. That's what He's saying. Both mercy and wrath come from Him. We get so overbalanced. We get so one way or the other. And we just miss the simplicity of actually just being a just person. Just being a person that wants to reflect what God has for us. Now verse 3, chapter 3. Verse 17. My son, accomplish your works with gentleness, and you will be loved by people the Lord accepts. The greater you are, the more humble you must be, and you will find grace before the Lord. Humbleness, humility, is not just getting walked all over. It's not just never say anything. It's not just most humility is a sense. Most humility that is portrayed is nothing but pride. It's nothing but pride. Humility is being what you are, not putting on a show. Not pretending you're something else. A lot of people say, oh, I'm ashamed to speak. All that is you're too proud to get up there and say anything. It's not because you're humble. Humility is being what you are. It's not puffing yourself up and it's not tearing yourself down. Humility is just being exactly what you are. And that just throws people off because some people can get up and say something and they say, oh, he's proud. He's just being what he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. That is the essence of humility. Just being simple, truthful, honest, just being what you are is the essence of humility. Not putting on a show. People say, oh, they just talk with this nice little soft voice and they'll never lift. Most ministers, they've got their holy voice and they keep everything. That is not humility. That's putting on a show. Humility is being what you are. Justice, being a just man, is living this life, doing what's right. Not putting on a show. The greater you are, the more humble you must be. And you will find grace before the Lord. Someone that rises to greatness, to be humble, is to remember what you actually are. And not get all puffed up with what people are saying. That's not humility. Getting lowering yourself is not humility. It's being what you are. Staying on that level plane of being what you are. It's just like justice. It's just being We try to make it something that it isn't. And here's why, how we do that. Because the Lord is great in power, great is the power of the Lord, and He is honored by the humble. And do not seek things too difficult for you, nor examine what is beyond your strength. See where you miss humility here? You try to reach out for things that are too difficult for you instead of just being what you are. And right here is where religion, the biggest part of modern day religion, just falls flat on its face. Because they're reaching out for something way out there. Reaching out for something way ahead of themselves. Let's read on about it. It says, do not seek things too difficult for you. Do not seek things too difficult for you. When your expectation of Christianity is something way up high in the sky, you're going to be seeking after them. You're going to sit around and read all day long. You're going to pray all day long. You're going to seek after this thing. And it'll never happen. If it does, you'll be deceived. Because that's not what it's about. It's about walking humbly with your God. It's about doing justly. It's about being merciful. You can do that. It's not too high for you. But we set these goals, nor examine what is beyond your strength. How many people have stumbled trying to find some experience with God? And it's way beyond, it's not their strength. They're seeking out there for something more instead of just being holy. Think about what is commanded you, for you do not need what the Lord keeps hidden. You do not need what the Lord keeps hidden. You know, in the storybooks about magic, everybody's looking for some secret potion or some secret formula to get magical powers. And it's hidden. It's dark. It's down there deep. And people search for it and they sell their lives to find something to get a hold of this deep power. And religious people do the same things. Is it any less magic? Looking for that secret key that is going to fulfill me, that is going to change me, that's going to make me holy. When all you have to do is be it. For you do not need what the Lord keeps hidden. How many of you have sought for something and sought for something and sought for something, thinking there's a missing key somewhere? That you're just missing something about following the Lord. You don't need what the Lord has hidden. You know, right in front of you is hard enough. Right in front of you is hard enough. Do what your hand finds to do, and you'll have the secret of what it means. You learn what to do, what's right in front of you, and you'll learn this magical secret you've been seeking for all your life. It's right in front of you. And it's not hidden. It's there. But we spend our religious lives looking for something out there, mystical way out there that's going to fix our problems. You do not need what the Lord keeps hidden. Do not meddle in what is none of your business. Those things, if the Lord has hidden something from you, it's none of your business. Do you understand that? The Lord deals in simplicity. Here, walk this way. Take care of this. And if you're seeking out for something higher, some kind of experience you heard someone else had and that fixed them and all kinds of things you're seeking after, this new rule, this new law, this new keeping this and keeping that, whatever it is, You're meddling in things that are none of your business. For things beyond human insight have been shown to you. Speculation has led many astray, and evil suppositions have caused their minds to slip and fall. There's traps, there's dangers. And then there's the Lord. You try to reach out for anything higher than what's right in front of you, and you're on dangerous ground. It's right in front of you. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk with God. To walk humbly with your God. It's pretty simple. And that's all it takes. And it is right in front of each and every one of you. And how dangerous it is to head off another direction. Now in Wisdom chapter 2, verse 1. How many times have you thought that whenever you seek the Lord, it's just going to be, you're going to find peace and happiness and just everything is just going to be wonderful? Isn't that what people are seeking after whenever they, I just want peace, I just want happiness, I want things to go well. That's what we're seeking for. That's what people are pursuing for. They think, I'm turmoiled, I'm troubled, I want peace with God. I'll do whatever it takes. Verse 1. My son, if you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. You want everything all fixed? You want an easy life? You want things to go well? You want peace and happiness and the appearance of holiness? Don't seek the Lord. If you draw near to serve the Lord, prepare your soul for temptation. See, this is why people don't want the simple. They don't want to do justly and to love mercy. Because that's seeking after the Lord. That's seeking after the Lord. And you get that simple and get right. Prepare your soul for temptation. You thought temptations were going to be gone. I'm not going to even be bothered by those things anymore. I'm just going to be free as a bird. Just to float around and whistle and love God and hold hands and walk in the flowers. That's not the way it is. You seek the Lord, we're in the devil's world. He's coming after you. It's just like prayer. You know, people think, oh, I'll just pray long enough, everything will get fixed. Remember when Jesus fasted and prayed for 40 days? Did that just lift him up above all of his troubles? It's what we think it ought to do. But do you remember the first person that appeared to him after he had fasted and prayed for 40 days? He met Satan. And he came after him, and he came after him, and he came after him. I don't know how many people I've talked to prayed for 15 minutes about something and they say, oh, I got an answer. Somebody spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me. Well, every time I read about the Bible, the first one that speaks to them is not the Lord. The Lord has set a path for you, and our responsibility in that path is to be prepared for whatever comes our way. That's what it means to follow the Lord, the last part of that verse. To walk humbly with God is to prepare yourself to walk with God. To prepare yourself to walk with God. You know how you do that? You do it just like Jesus did. In the garden, He wasn't saying, God, fix all my problems. He would like that. He said, Lord, if it's possible, take it away. But how He prepared was, nevertheless, Lord, whatever You see fit to lay upon me, I'll do it. Thy will be done. That is such a simple thing. But it probably strikes fear in a lot of people's hearts. Because that's what it means to trust the Lord. Here it is, Lord. I'll walk with You wherever You want me to go. I'll face any situation You put in my path. I'll walk humbly with You. Pretty easy to see this. It's pretty simple. But we don't want to do it. It's a lot more exciting to have religion. It's a lot more peaceful to have religion. All the rules, all the strictness, or all the flowers. That's why there's so many extremes. Because people don't want the simple. They'll go to any extreme to avoid that. Any extreme to avoid that. But that's not what the Lord requires. Walk justly, love mercy, and prepare yourself to follow the Lord. Prepare your soul for temptation. Set your heart right and be steadfast. And do not strive anxiously in distress. Cleave to Him and do not fall away. That you may be honored at the end of your life. That's pretty simple. Follow the Lord means hang on. And keep hanging on. What does it matter where the ride goes if the Lord is driving? What does it matter how bumpy, how high you are, how low you go, how dark you have to go through if you just keep on hanging on to the Lord? And let Him drive. You know, we think about the big things sometimes. Well, God just made everything. We can believe that. Why can't we just believe that He can have my life? And I'll just follow. I'll just hang on. I'll just do what comes my way. That's where real peace comes from. Real rest comes from knowing what you're hanging on to. That He does have it in His hands. May the Lord add His blessings. May we take heed to the advice. Do justly. Love mercy. And be prepared to follow the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and mercy. We just ask that You'd help us to reflect that, Father. We thank You for the paths You lead us upon, Father. We may not like them at the time, but we thank You for Your guiding hand, Help us just to hold on and trust and walk with you. Again, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Seems that the men that the Lord used in the Bible were men that were just content with obscurity, you know, just doing what was promised to their today. And those that were not content with that were short lived and running their own show. That's just a blessing. Challenge too, you know, all the you said that often, men like Moses and Abraham and even Jesus, he didn't ask for all that.
Thank you. Savior.